many times a day do you pray to me? How many times a day do you call on me? One prayer, two or three times a day is all I'm asking. And I'm asking right now that you repeat this prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You say that prayer. I will hear you. I will heal you. And I will heal your nation. Without that prayer, my hands are tied. Don't tie my hands, says the Lord. Don't tie my hands. Call on me with everything in your spirit. Everything in your spirit. And I will hear you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I tell you, prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Prayer, prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord. You may be seated if you'd like. We'll try this one again. I don't know what's going on. That's okay.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know what Jesus did without microphones. His voice was like the billow winds of that just went forth. Amen. Amen. Prayer. Prayer changes things. You know, it says in Scripture, and I'm going to read probably that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Now, they may be high, but they're not higher than God. But they're high, and they're bigger than us. And what they try to do is stop the praises of God's people. Stop us from praying and seeking God. Because I know probably God has dealt with many of you, and even with myself, to maybe get up a little early and start doing some praying. And we've resisted. Because you see, God knows as we pray to Him, the Spirit of God comes and works and does all kinds of things. All kinds of things. And tears down the principalities and powers that are in high places that hold people in bondage. Hold people in bondage. And won't let them go. But the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross will do it. Will do it. Also, a matter of note, Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. National Day of Prayer. I don't know, is something going on? It's May 1st. Yeah. The first Thursday in May every year. I know I saw it. And so, but this is what I'm going to ask you. You know, that day, take some time to pray for our nation. We need prayer. our nation is being destroyed from the inside out. It's being destroyed. I mean, let's face it. We have a leader that doesn't know God. Not the God of Jehovah God. Not him. And so we have a nation that has turned itself from the God of Jehovah of the Old Testament and has turned to other things. But you see, it says this, but if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, ooh, that's what we got to do. Seek his face. Turn to him. So May 1st, if you have time, around 12 noon or in the morning, whatever, take some time to pray for our president, to pray for our senators and our congressmen and our country as a whole, that God would have mercy and grace upon us and hopefully turn us back to him. Turn us back to him so that he can protect us as a nation and protect us spiritually and physically also. Amen. Also, a matter of note, we do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday, which was Easter Sunday, we picked up $390. So thank you for being faithful with your giving to the church. And we just pray the blessings. Father, Lord, I just pray your blessings to flow over your people this day. Lord God, you see the things that are happening in their lives. But Father, bless them and use them at will, Lord God. Father, we pray for your anointing and your spirit to rest upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Children's Church, the kids and the workers. Okay. All right. Thank you. If you would go. Amen. Amen. Well, she's going with Joey. That's good. That's good. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Everybody had a good Easter last Sunday? Amen. Amen. Yeah, you sure did. Oh, yeah. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just a matter of note, the financial statement for last year is on this shelf right here. If you would like one, just pick it up. You know, we just want to give account to all the monies that have come in to the church. And we do want to thank you for your faithfulness. From what I can remember, I think last year we picked up, was it 58,000? So praise God, man. That's a blessing. That's a blessing, you know, and using it, you know, for various things to get the gospel out. So thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. Amen. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And this week, pray for the church. Please pray for this church. Ask God to move upon it and His will to be done in our midst for the church. We know this. You know, you ask any adult or even any teenager, you know, for the most part, I guess, but when you know you start to get older, you find out life is hard, huh? I mean, it's not even with God in us. Even though we know Jesus lives in us, life is hard. And life is a battle. I mean, it is a constant battle on the inside of us. And but the Apostle Paul says that we struggle in life, not just against the world and the flesh, but against invisible powers that struggle against us to keep us from becoming all that God wants us to become. So remember this, that you're not only battling yourself, you're not only battling the things in the world, sometimes maybe even family or friends that try to hold us back from becoming what God wants us to be. But also we need to remember this, that we're battling a force, a demonic force beyond this world, that is trying to bring destruction of any kind into your life and in my life. And he will use old Slewfoot and all his demon spirits and all his demons will use anything he can to try to bring destruction to the spirit man or the God in us. And that's where the battle is. That's where the battle is. But in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12. It says this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those are rulers or beings of high rank in Satan's kingdom. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we struggle against. Now, we know the end result. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, when he said the words, "It is finished," it was finished. That means he won every battle in the world for you and I individually and collectively. Sometimes we don't realize that what Jesus did at Calvary's cross and laying his life down, which he didn't have to, but he did it because the Father wanted him to and to fulfill the will of the Father. And that was the only way to bring reconciliation between God and man. When he died on the cross and when he said it is finished, every battle that we fight today has been won at Calvary's cross. Everyone, every principality, every power of the darkness of this world that has set itself against you as an individual or against this church as a collective body of believers was defeated at Calvary's cross. Now, you probably say, well, why do we go through so many things? Why do we struggle with so many things? Because of who we are on the inside. Because of the struggles that we have on the inside. And old Slewfoot is trying to bring destruction, and God is trying to bring victory in our hearts and in our lives to reality. Not that it wasn't done, but to bring it about in reality towards us in where we live today and what we're doing. So you see, who do we fight against? Not people. We often say it's him or her. And yes, it may be him or her, but it's the power behind him or her that's causing the problems. So how do we win the victory? We go to God and we pray against those things and we ask God to move upon those things because he's already defeated them. And the devil knows once we put our faith in our God, the God that has made everything in the universe, the God that has transformed every life that wanted to be transformed by the power of God, the God that has taken drug addicts and got them and made them free, the God that has set alcoholics free, the God that has taken pride and arrogance out of people's hearts that want it. That's the kind of God we serve that has transformed every life according to his will if we desire it and if we want it. All done at Calvary's cross. But you know, old Slewfoot never stands still. Never. What he'll try to do is bring discouragement to God's people. Everybody say yes. I know it. He will try to bring discouragement of all kinds. Now, let me just set something straight here. We often think, well, you know, if I get discouraged about something, that it's sin. It's not so much sin. We get discouraged, but it's not sin unless we quit. The devil tries to bring discouragement upon your heart. You know, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're doing everything that you know God wants you to do, and God is blessing and moving in your heart, and all of a sudden it seems like you hit a wall. And the devil will bring people around to discourage you. The devil has his army, but also God has his too. Oh, and it sure outweighs anything that the devil can throw. And he would try to bring discouragement of all kinds. All kinds. He knows the weak areas. The devil knows the weak areas of our lives. And so he would try to bring discouragement so that you and I will lose faith in our God. Which he knows if we lose faith, if we do that, we will turn from our God and we won't believe our God can do the impossible. Because you see, most of the time the devil will bring discouragement right before the power and the blessing and the anointing of God is about to be poured out upon your heart and upon your life. And just about when that blessing that you've been praying for, the things that you've been believing for, is about to come. And so he tries to bring that discouragement around your house. And honestly, sometimes it does penetrate, huh? Let's face it. We live in a real world here. Sometimes it happens. But you see, that's okay. God knows where we are and what's happening. And he will bring his people to help us and to encourage us. And he will send his word to encourage us. And he will send the Holy Spirit to encourage us and to get us back on track so that we can believe God for what he's telling us to believe for. You see, the only things that I can have from God is the things that God has commissioned me to have, and I have to believe for it. That's faith. I can't have what he says I can't have. Some people are believing God for things that we know if they had it, they wouldn't serve God tomorrow. So you see, God will commission things for us to have. So we got to believe those things. Believe those things. You might say, well, how do we know what God has for us? Read his word. Pray and intercede. Ask God to move. And the Spirit of God will quicken things in your heart and in your spirit. And you will know without a shadow of a doubt that it's God that has spoken to you. And you'll treasure that and keep it in your heart. And you'll say, Lord, I believe it. Lord, I believe it. Doesn't matter how things look today. It doesn't matter how things look tomorrow. It doesn't matter how things look next week. But I know this, it will turn around. It will turn around because God has commissioned it for you and your family, for me and my family. My God, what God can do, what God can do. You know, I heard somebody say this. I was listening to the radio and they said, you know, every day, I just thank God for his mercy and his grace upon my life. Sometime throughout the day, they just say, Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Because, buddy, if it wasn't for mercy and grace, where would we be? Not in church, serving him. It's not a sin to be discouraged. It's a sin to stay there and quit. Sometimes we think our Christian lives or our Christian walk, it's like playing a baseball game. You get up to bat and you swing at three balls coming over the plate or three strikes come and we're out. Three strikes can come, but with God, you're still not out. He says, pitcher, throw another one. And we look to the Father. We say, Father, I'm not worthy to get in that batter's box. And he says, I'll make you worthy. Because of the blood of my son. And so look, discouragement will come, but also it will go. And God will bring life and breath and healing and help in your time of need. Because it's when you're in the deep despairs of life where you find out how great our God is sometimes. When you don't have another dollar to spend because you don't have it, and somebody comes and gives you some money, and you know they don't know anything about what's going on in your life, you look to your God and you say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I remember years ago not having a dollar, not one. Working in Abbeville, and I knew I needed gas. It was a Sunday morning, went to church, and I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. And lo and behold, I'm going to tell you, walking out of church, I just happened to flip through my Bible, and a $20 bill came out of that Bible. You might say, well, did God put the $20 in there? Well, God spoke to somebody to put it in there. God spoke to somebody to put, I don't know who. Still to this day, I don't know. Lord, bless him. Bless him. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. That will look out and will bless his people as we continue to serve him with everything within us. There was a certain man. I want to tell you some facts about his life. And maybe by the end you might say, I know who that is. About this man. Let me tell you certain things about him. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality. As a very young boy, he had to go to work to help support his family. At the age of 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. Think he was discouraged? Number 5, he wanted to go to law school, but his education was not good enough. At 23, he went into debt to become a partner in a small store. At 26, his business partner died, leaving him a huge debt that took years to repay. At 28, after courting a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him, and she said no. No. Poor thing, huh? Poor thing. Not finished yet. Anybody feels worse than this guy yet? No? Okay. At 37, on his third try, he was elected to Congress. At 41, his son died. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he failed as a candidate for vice president. At 49, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 51, he was elected president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. You wouldn't think, huh? Talking about discouragement? Look, discouraged. But he picked himself up. Picked himself up, people. Huh? And then somebody shot him. Yeah. I mean, you know. I mean, my God. That's a shame, man. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Then somebody shot him. Lord have mercy. We think we have problems. Sometimes when we look in the glass of another person's life, we find out we're very blessed. Huh? When you see the status of how people live, I tell you, that's one thing I've learned. My God. When you start to walk, you know, when you ride through cities, you know, the main roads, you're looking at the best houses, probably the businesses, you know, you don't see all the mess. But when you have to go to the inner city parts of cities, and you start to see what people are living in. When you see that you wouldn't even let your dog live in a places that human beings are living in. That you kind of like, oh my God. The floors are rotten. The porches are rotten. There's wood just out, taken out from the sides of the buildings. There's tarps on top of on homes. I'll be honest with you, there's one house. I don't even know how this man's living in it. The roof is rotten. It's a brick home. Roof is rotten. When one of the hurricanes came, so how long it's been since the last hurricane came? It's been a while, huh? Well, it messed up whatever was good with the roof. They put blue tarps over it. There's no more blue tarps. There's little pieces of it on the roof. And you can see where the roof, I mean, just, you know, you'll have a rafter, whatever, and then it's just rotten. Water's just raining in that house. The boxing around the house is rotten. Now, let me get, it's so bad that we cannot put mail at the house. Now, you think that's bad? And somebody's living in that. Living in it. The carport. You can't park a car under there. It's actually falling down. It's almost to the ground. And it's attached to the house. It's part of the house. So when you look at, and you look at all these things, you find out how blessed we are. Everyone basically has a home to go to. There's air conditioning. There's heat. There's food in the refrigerator. There's food in the freezer. We're blessed. See, when we turn the perspective of off of me and on to God and thank you for the blessings, the discouragement can leave very quickly. Because you see, what the devil tries to do in discouraging the church is get our eyes off of, or get our eyes on us and off of God. And God says, put your eyes on me and I'll bless you. And I'll move in your heart and in your life. Discouragement. Discouragement is a common response to the challenges of life. Even David, who experienced great triumph, had tremendous emotional struggles. Psalms 42:11. Let's look at that. Psalms 42:11. Psalms 42:11. Psalms, Proverbs. Psalms 42:11. It says this. Now, King David is saying this. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Speaking to himself, O my soul. And why are you disquieted within me? Hope you in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Here King David was declaring restoration to himself. He said, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope is in God, for I shall yet praise him. Look. Our hope is in our God, for we shall praise him. Our hope is in him. We shall praise him. We shall never look to ourselves, because depression, disappointments, discouragement will set in. But we have to keep our eyes upon Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, and the power and the anointing and the presence of God will be established and positioned for us to come upon our lives. So King David said, why are you in despair, O my soul? Because his soul was sick, was looking at self. He had gone through many things, and we know all kinds of stuff King David went through. Things he brought upon himself. But you know what? How many times have we brought things upon ourselves too? But he encouraged himself. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Remember this, God is always with you if we want him to be with us. He's always with us, no matter what. And it says that God, Jesus, will never leave us or forsake us. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Look at verse 1. talking about King David. And it says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now remember, Ziklag was where King David was. His wives, the children, all the men had left to go and do battle. And when they arrived back at Ziklag, they find that the Amalekites had come and attacked them, the women and the children, and they took them all to be prisoners, as slaves. Verse 2, and had taken the women captives who were therein. They killed not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now they took the men, the women and the children, and they carried them away. Now you might say, well, what they were going to do with them? And you know, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of trouble, God still only allows the enemy to get away with certain amount of things. Isn't that comforting to know that even when the enemy comes in and tries to bring discouragement to God's people, God will only allow the enemy to do certain amounts of things? Because you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, look at these scriptures. Why didn't, when they attacked the women and the children, why didn't they kill them? They could have killed every one of them. And David and his men would have got back and their wives and their children would have been dead. But God had allowed them to be taken as captives. And what they were going to do is they were going to take them and sell them to Egypt as slaves and make money off of them. But God knew what was going to happen. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, do you think they were brokenhearted? Have you ever gotten to the place that you cried so much that you couldn't cry anymore? You know how these men felt then. You know how they felt. Because you see, they went to win a battle and came back to destruction. Came back to see that their wives and their children were literally almost destroyed and taken as captives. Verse 5. And David's two wives were taken captive. Ammonon the Jezreelite and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. A low point in David's life. For the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, this is what I want to talking about. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Literally, the Hebrews, and I want to read this comment. It says, the Hebrew literally says this. He strengthened himself in Jehovah, and he turned to the Lord, because the Lord was the one who could help. So here we see David turns to the Lord and says, Father, I need your help. Because you see, David, before he went to battle, had kind of turned a little bit from God. And he wasn't serving God like he should have. And you probably thinking, King David? Well, all of us have done that. We've turned our hearts and our eyes from God at times, and we're not serving him like we should. You know, we don't read our Bibles like we should. We know to get that nourishment on the inside. We don't pray like God commands us to pray, to seek him. Our hearts are turning. Those are just evidences of things. Those are byproducts of things. And so, you know, God allowed this to turn the heart of David back to him, that he truly would be a man after God's own heart. Now, do you think David was discouraged? My God, was he? Do you think the men that were with him, that went to battle with him and would do anything for him, were discouraged? Well, we can read in scripture where they want to stone David. I mean, they had enough. They were ready to stone him and kill him. And we know God steps in and changes that. But here they were discouraged. But God steps in. God steps in and strengthens David, and look, and says this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What he did was he turned to God. When you're discouraged, when you feel disappointment, this is what you do. You turn to God. You turn to him. You might say, well, what do I do when I turn to him? You praise him. You honor him. You seek him. You love him. You tell him how much you care about him. You tell him you'll do his will. Because he's looking for what? Your heart. Your heart. He's looking for a people that will serve him no matter what happens in the world. We can look at our world and we're thinking, oh my God, how can this world stand another 10 years? I don't know. I keep waiting to hear the trumpet sound. I'm thinking, Lord, get us out of here. But you see, he's not going to come till everyone has heard and actually heard the true gospel about the Son of David, Jesus Christ. When everyone has actually heard that he is the Savior of the world and that he can take them out of sin and bring victory in their lives. So he's waiting for us to tell the people, because the angels can't, but tell the people about his Son, Jesus Christ. His Son, Jesus Christ. We know this, discouragement. It's universal. Almost everyone has been dismayed at a time or another. Isn't that true? Definitely. If you haven't, please, I want to talk to you. I want your autograph, and you need to tell me how you do it. It's reoccurring. Discouragement is reoccurring. It seems like when you get over one thing, it seems like, and we know God is in control, something else happens. But you see, as these discouragements are coming, you're positioning yourself to stand upon the firm foundation of the solid rock of our Lord and Savior. And you're saying, Lord, no matter what comes, I'll serve you. No matter what comes, look, if everyone turns their faces from you, I will look to you as my Lord and Savior. It's unpredictable. You never know when it strikes you or a loved one. But also this. Discouragement, let me tell you this, it's temporary. And the devil will try to make you think that it's going to last your whole lifetime. No. He tries to make you think that when you're 80 and 90 and 100 years old and you're closing your eyes to finally go see your maker, if we last that long, that you'll be discouraged. But no. It's very temporal. Very temporal. I mean, one day we might get discouraged, but the next day, my God, the power of God, we feel it, we know it, and the power of God moves upon our hearts, and we say, my God, I'll serve you with everything within me. But this is the deal. We need to praise him when we're discouraged. We need to praise him when we're not. That makes a solid, solid Christian. We need to praise him, and let me tell you, it's a sacrifice of praise. When we don't feel like it, this is what we want to do. We want to get in the lazy boy, recline back, drink something, a Coke or coffee, whatever, and just think about the discouragement. As the mind goes, the body goes. That's why God says to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. You see? Because he knows. If we think upon, and we know all those things is the word of God, that the power of God will be upon our lives. But if we think of disappointments, discouragement, and all those evils, that will affect our body and we will go in a different direction than what God wants. That doesn't mean we deny those things. It's there. David didn't deny that his wives and the other men's wives and the children were being held captive and he knew where they were, they didn't deny it. They knew it happened. And David didn't deny it. But he did one thing that changed everything, is that he looked to God and God changed it. He looked to God and God took that disappointment and made it into a high point in his life. It turned his heart from being mediocre towards God to be hot towards him. That he would be a man after God's own heart. Do you think? You need to realize this. You know, I know the scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. Do you think when he was born out of his mother's womb that he had a heart after God? No. It says that the heart of man is evil. You know what made him a man after God's own heart? When he saw and realized what God was doing in him, through him, and what God could do in the future for him. The many disappointments that he had. We know the great sin that David did, huh? We know it. He messed around with somebody's wife. Got caught. Sons died. Killed the man. And we think, just throw him away. But not God. Not God. God's not a God that takes takes his children like dish towels and throws them away when they're no more useful. He makes them new, and he encouraged David. And David saw a God that had compassion and love and mercy and grace. And David's heart was turned towards God like never before. It was a process of time that God could finally say David was a man or is a man after God's own heart. We don't realize the process of what God is doing in all of our hearts and in our souls. The time it takes of the Spirit of God to work. That we don't just produce God in us. That God is working in us to produce himself. But it takes sometimes time. Like David. Like David. The causes of discouragement. I thought this was interesting. If we realize the causes of it, maybe we can stop some things. The inability to please others. Don't try to please people. Now, we love people. We'll try to do whatever, but don't try to please. I mean, you know, it can bring discouragement. Physical or verbal abuse, unanswered prayer, lack of proper recognition. Some people, they want to be recognized. Now, we need to recognize there's nothing, but don't let that be a discouragement to you if it doesn't happen, okay? Strongholds, financial pressure sometimes, health problems, unexplained adversity, or feeling of worthlessness. Those can cause discouragement in our lives. Well, let me get to the main point here. What can cure discouragement? Look up to God. God has the ability to rescue you from the harmful attitudes. Look back. Don't dwell on hurtful things in the past. Instead, think about God's faithfulness to deliver you. And look ahead. Focus on what the Lord is doing now in your life. Be encouraged by what he has planned for the future. Resolve to trust God. Psalms 103:19. Can you put that scripture up, Joe? Psalms 103:19. And we're about to close, people. About to close. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Over all. He controls all things. He loves you and will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he will never leave us or forsake us. And he can turn adversity into something good. Into something good. Into something good. In Revelation 21:4, you don't have to pull it up. It says this. It says that He will wipe every tear from our eyes. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God you serve. It says that He, now, we need to really catch that. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. That means you and Him, you will have His individual attention. Our undivided attention. And He will wipe all those tears. All those tears of crying because of heartaches, pain, discouragement. That one day, our God will take the time. You might say, why will God do that? Because He cares for every one of us. Focus your attention upon God. Look to Him. Look to Him. Now, that doesn't mean we deny the discouragement. That doesn't mean we deny the disappointment. That doesn't mean we deny anything. No, we're not doing that. What we're denying is putting our trust in those things. And we're saying, yes, it's happening, but Lord, I put You as the firm foundation of the rock that I stand on. And Lord, I look to You. You said You would never leave me or forsake me. And Father, I put my faith and my trust in You. And let me tell you, He will take those disappointments just like He did with David. And He will turn it around for our good. Because it says that they went back in there and they got their families. Can you imagine? Not one son, not one daughter, not one wife was harmed. God is the God that works on your behalf and my behalf. That He will do whatever it takes to help us through every situation. Take that discouragement and let God use it as a rock to bring you to a higher place with Him this day. Amen. You may stand, please. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, we just thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You for what You're doing in our hearts and in our lives this day, Lord. I want to ask you a question. Have you been disappointed this week? Just discouraged? Just disappointed? If you have, would you just raise your hand? I see your hands. One, two. Anyone else? I see your hands. I see your hands. Oh, Lord, why don't You raise Your hands towards heaven this morning? Father, Lord, You see what has happened in their lives, Lord. But Father, they're turning the disappointment or the discouragement to You, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that Your Spirit would draw them unto You ever closer to You than ever before. And Father, we come against the evil spirits in Jesus' name that has tried to discourage and do things upon their lives. But Father, we pray the Holy Spirit to be leashed out upon each and every one of them, Lord. And that, Lord God, from this day forward, that, Lord, yes, the situation may not change today. But Lord God, they're looking to You and You are going to change it like You did David. Lord God, their hearts are turned towards You, Lord God. Do a mighty work in them and help them this day, Father. Lord, I pray the anointing in Your Spirit to rest upon their lives and upon their hearts, Lord God. Use them at will within your kingdom, Father. We give You praise, we give You honor, and we give You glory this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And don't forget, this week, pray for the church. Pray. And when I say pray for the church, I mean this body of believers. Pray. Pray. Many people should have been here today. But you see, the devil just works and does all kinds of things. But you see, God has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And so we just come against that thing. Not the people, them, him. And we just pray God to move upon their hearts and souls. But look, guys, we appreciate you, love you, and I thank God for you. And I pray you have a great week this week. Amen.
God bless you.